You please pray with me. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my strength, and my redeemer. Amen. Last Sunday, we worshiped at Shepherd's Hill Farm. It's a hobby farm about an hour south of here. And I was pleased as we set up the worship service today that we didn't leave anything, I think, at Shepherd's Hill Farm. There's times after we have those kind of like church in a box sort of experiences that we're like, oh no, where is that? This piece, this cloth, that kind of thing. So good job, everyone, in bringing those things. But the real news from our worship service during that time was that as we were gathered together as a congregation, at the same time, St. Stephanus Lutheran in St. Paul was voting on whether or not to give us their building or sell us their building for $1. And they voted unanimously to do so, to sell us their building for $1. In this space, let's give thanks to the Lord. Now, it has been a week of testimony. At least I've received lots of testimony. I've given lots of testimony in the course of that time. Clapping and emails and texts has not really seemed sufficient to that just wonderful gift that the Lord has given us. So, received and sent many emails, text messages, phone calls. As a consequence, I think today's message is more of a homily than a sermon in sharing. I received a text message from a board president of the former St. Mark's Lutheran Church, which was a church in West 7th neighborhood that more than a year ago, he showed us his building, and in the midst of that tour then said, actually, the building's not for sale. And he felt very bad about that and kept texting and praying for us. And so I was really glad to be able to text him and say, like, Don, look what God has done. And he replied, holy moly, Paul. That is wonderful, wonderful news. Oh boy, I am so happy for your congregation. Can you see me smiling? This was all by text message. He had a little smiling emoji in that one. I shared the news with friends, and they expressed how happy they were for us, how much they had been praying for our congregation, and the thanksgiving that they could put that prayer request now on their praise and thanksgiving list. I spoke with a friend that as I was telling the story, she's like, oh, feel goosebumps of God's work, of God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. From you, our congregation, I heard lots of excitement and then lots of questions, very reasonable, understandable questions about the coming transition. So if you have questions and excitement at the same time, that is totally okay. You are not alone in those questions and in wondering what's next. At a cross-country meet, which is something that I spend my time at regularly, cheering on my son and daughter, I told the father of one of Jack and Meta's teammates about this. He had heard about this news for a while. And then his father beside him, who I don't know very well, as I was telling him, he like fished around in his wallet and he pulled out a $1 bill, which is in my bag over there, by the way. And he gave it to me saying, well, I'll be the first, you know, I'll pay for it. And it's funny, right? I was taken aback by the gesture because it was real and it was a gesture. And so I took it and I said, thank you. And I said, you can trust me. I will put it in the offering plate. It won't stay in my bag that whole time. And then he went off to go cheer on the athlete that he was cheering on. And I felt a little unsettled. I was like, should I have taken the dollar? Did he want me to take the dollar or give it back to him? It wounded my pride a little bit, my fleshly pride, because it made me feel a little bit this sort of unworthiness. Like, yes, you know, God has been good to us, but I don't really need your dollar. I mean, we're a secure church. We've got good finances. And so it stirred up this sort of fleshliness within me, and I overthink, I mean, maybe I'm letting a little too much into you, you know, to see, I overthink things too much. But I didn't want others to think that I was needy. I mean, again, we're grateful, but we're not desperate people. But the truth is, need and humility and even unworthiness isn't an exception for the people of God. It's not something that's just like, well, some people experience unworthiness. But it is a condition for us to acknowledge our unworthiness before God. To acknowledge our unworthiness, to acknowledge our need to be humble, is a condition, a precondition of faith. Jesus said, "For those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick." And Jesus came to redeem and reconcile the world to himself, not, you know, find a perfect world and then just work around the edges. Jesus came not to call the righteous, the self-righteous, but to call sinners. We do not save ourselves or earn our salvation or buy ourselves church buildings, even if when they're just for a dollar. That all that we receive is an expression of God's goodness. And so that sense of unworthiness and humility is good, and it's a condition of Jesus' disciples. That, like the parable of the mustard seed, which we read, faith isn't about the quantity of our faith, but the faithfulness of God in whom we put our faith. Again, faith isn't about the quantity that we provide, but faithfulness of God in whom we trust. Again, that first part of Luke chapter 17, the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith," because Jesus had told them, you know, forgive always. If someone offends you, forgive up to seven times again and again and again. And the apostles heard this as a very hard word of what Jesus was asking, and they responded, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you." But again, the efficacy, the agency of our faith is not in how much we supply, because again, if you've seen a mustard seed, it's the tiniest and tiniest of seeds that we can, I mean, in like a metaphorical way. It's not the quantity of faith that we provide, but the one in whom we have faith, the faithfulness of God in whom we trust. As we read in Habakkuk and in the Psalm, the people of God often, and it is, again, it's not an exception, but the rule, find ourselves lacking in power and prestige compared to the power and riches and prestige of this world. Lacking in earthly power that puffs up. But if you think about puffed up, there's not a lot of substance underneath. We find ourselves lacking in the currency of worldly influence and thinking, are God's promises really true? 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul speaks to Timothy saying the faithful will suffer. And the Apostle Paul's suffering, I think he recognized that his suffering, his misfortune all the time, shipwrecks and persecution and being in prison even at that time, was unsettling to those whom he discipled. How was it that Jesus' apostle, one who spoke so faithfully, could also suffer so unjustly? And then, after suffering unjustly for the good news, say, now you preach it too. You uphold this word of faith faithfully, just as I uphold it. That is a very challenging kind of good news if it costs so much and seems to, in the moment, reward so little. But we are called to live by faith, that the righteous shall live by faith. Our Anglican Catechism says that to have faith means to believe the gospel is the truth, that Jesus died for my sins, rose from the dead, and rules over my life. And therefore, I entrust myself to him. Therefore, I entrust myself to him as my Savior and obey him as my Lord. Christian faith is not merely assent, agreement to doctrine, or just agreement to belief, but it is belief and trust, entrusting ourselves to him in obedience and submitting ourselves to him as Lord. Belief in the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel, as the Apostle Paul said. And trust in the same Jesus in whom we have believed. Trust that the promises of God are true and worth staking our lives on. Trust that the meek will inherit the land and dwell in abundant peace, as we have said together. Trust that the righteous shall live by faith, not be crushed or destroyed. Trust expressed in love and self-control, empowered by the Holy Spirit, even if they are costly things they don't seem to reward in the moment. Faith is belief and trust. It's lived out, enduring trial, enacting our faith in obedience and submitting ourselves to our Lord Jesus. Persevering and doing good, even when the wicked that surround us seem to be succeeding and the righteous are suffering and justice is perverted. As a congregation, we have waited for a long time. And many of us felt near to despair. So as I think again of this man giving me a dollar and I'm feeling a little bit sorry for myself because I felt unworthy, there have been many very clear times and knows, lots of sleeplessness, groaning, back problems, all these things, bearing these stresses that are not really mine to bear. Years of waiting and then receiving God's miraculous provision. So it is good to be ready to receive the gift, to step into the land as the Lord's providing us, to be well-equipped and well-prepared, to try to be prepared for good stewardship. And so again, to those questions, the ones that I have, many ones that you have, there are things to do, but preparations made with humility, preparations made with the sense that no matter how much we prepare, we will still again be unworthy in the sense that we can't carry it on our own. Preparation in the sense that we are not sort of hitting the ground running, but that we are being transplanted by God, our good gardener, the one who wants to see us flourish, and to see the presence, a faithful presence of Christ proclaimed in a new neighborhood so that the leaves of the trees are for the healing of the nations in Frogtown. People readying ourselves to put down good roots where God has planted us, and putting down good roots, not just sort of crushing it into the hole, not in an instant, but being planted and transplanted over time. And trusting, Lord, teach us how to be transplanted well in a healthy way, understanding and being a blessing to others. For we are a people, we're not a place. We're a people, not merely a place. People who will still be those who invite strangers into our homes, strangers who become friends, strangers and neighbors whom we bless with the faithful presence of Christ. We'll still be people who gather in parks and backyards, who see the world that we're sent out to do the work that God has given us to do, that is our mission field, that is the place of ministry. Looking to the commonplaces of this world and of our homes as places where the Holy Spirit can work powerfully. People who still display the power and the riches of God through our love and our self-control, through our ultimately unworthy duty of obedience. Don't us underestimate what God can do through us, unworthy servants with faith just about as much as a mustard seed. Mothers and grandmothers and children, young men and women and elders, people who share in Christ's ministry of reconciliation through worship and testimony and faithful presence, just saying as much as we can, as much as we've experienced ourselves in our unworthy state, be reconciled to God. Ready yourselves then. Fan the flame of faith. Consecrate yourselves and be obedient and say in your obedience, look what God has done, not just in sort of the words that we speak, but in the way that our lives are transformed by the hope of glory in Christ. So that we can, in a real or metaphorical way, receive a dollar with gratitude and with thankfulness. That we are not ashamed of our unworthiness, for all that we receive is an expression of God's goodness. That the faith that we have, although we say, do, Lord, increase our faith that we might fully put our trust in you, isn't about the quantity of what we provide, but that we trust in one who is faithful. We put the faithfulness of God in whom we are. The faithfulness of God is the act, the power behind our faith. And we can offer ourselves, even our unworthy souls and bodies with our frailty, with our ignorance, with the things, the mistakes that we'll make, offer all those things with thanksgiving to the Lord to be a reasonable and a holy and a living sacrifice. For you and me, all of us have been called by the one, Jesus Christ, who is alone worthy, Christ Jesus our Lord. And through him, our sinful bodies are made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood. And in him, we evermore dwell in him, and he in us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.